The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
And we welcome everybody to Full Measure. Have you welcomed your neighbor yet? Say welcome, neighbor. Say welcome to Full Measure. For those joining us for the first time, you're welcome to God's Favorite House. You're welcome to the God We Do It Again service. Praise the name of the Lord. And God works with us instantly, silently, and completely. God's hand is upon you already. God is moving in your life already. And He will perfect that which He has begun in the name of Jesus. We welcome all our churches. Those of us in HQ, I want you to welcome very well all our churches all over the world. It means a lot to them. You know, they tell me that, oh, wow, when we welcome them, you know, they felt really, really good. So let us welcome God's Favorite House, Ibejuleki. Let's welcome God's Favorite House, Calabar. Let's welcome God's Favorite House, Johannesburg. God's Favorite House in Cape Town. Let's welcome God's Favorite House in London, Ontario, Canada. Let's welcome God's Favorite House in San Jose, Costa Rica. Let's welcome God's Favorite House in Santo Domingo, Costa Rica. Let's welcome God's Favorite House in Bogota, Colombia. Let's welcome God's Favorite House in Dallas, Texas. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, sometime in August, we will be going to kick off God's Favorite House in Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. So keep praying for us, you know. God is doing amazing things in Latin American churches. They are hungry for God. Praise the name of the Lord. Full Measure. Are you ready? Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Holy words, long preserved for our work
in this world,
they resound with God's own heart.
Oh, let the ancient words impart
words of hope.
Changing you,
we
have come.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the patient word hear.
We have come.
We have come
with open hearts. Oh, let the patient word impart.
And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Luke 6:38. The word of God says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Everyone say good measure.
Amen.
Pressed down. Everyone say pressed down.
Amen.
Shaking together. Everyone say shaking together.
Amen.
And running over. Will be put into your bosom. Sometimes, when things have been abused, when something has been abused, we do not want to associate with it. I mean, no, who wants to associate with something that has a bad reputation? Who wants to? Instinctively, we separate ourselves, you know? And if you travel, sometimes when you bring out your passport and people are bringing out the blue passport, the red passport, you want to hide your green passport. But many times I have to say to myself, no, I'm as proud as I'm American as I'm Nigerian.
Right.
Hallelujah. In fact, Nigeria is my root. And we cannot be ashamed of our home, of our source. The river that forgets its source dries up. And it bothers my heart to see a generation that is raising their children and deliberately teaching their children to scorn Nigeria. Deliberately. Doing such a disservice to their seed. A tree that forgets its roots will wither. And that's why the only group of people, well, in the U.S., that is confused are those that don't know where they are from. The Japanese Americans, Indian Americans, the Chinese Americans, they know where they are from. The only group that is confused, I won't say. You know, my grandmother would say that it's a bastard that we use the left hand to describe his father's house. But you see, because of how negative the things have been said about our amazing country, sometimes we don't want to be associated. I've seen people burn their Nigerian passport on the internet. But guess what? Nigeria is a great country. Nigeria is an amazing country. There are not many countries as beautiful as Nigeria. And guess what? Nigerian people, we know they carry last. I mean, we have everything to be proud of. We have everything. You see, and I'm saying this because, you know, it's easy to allow bad press or bad reputation make you disdain the gifts that God has given you. It's very easy. It happens in marriages. You disdain the person you're with. And in churches also, and even as a pastor, you know, you're talking about traveling, you know, so many times, every time they ask you, what do you do? You know, I'm bivocational. I'm privileged to be bivocational. So it's easy for me to just say, I'm a computer scientist. Oh, I work in AI. I write software, you know. And then God will be saying to me, but tell them you're a pastor. I'm like, eh. Because the idea being a pastor has been bastardized. Has been abused. So anybody that is sane and rational doesn't want to associate with it. I say, I'm a pastor. Okay, I say, I'm a pastor and I'm an entrepreneur. See? But recently, I found myself saying, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. Praise the name of the Lord. We will not be ashamed of him because of how people have painted him. We won't be. No, we will not. And also, sometimes there are certain aspects of the Word of God that we inadvertently shy away from because it has been abused. Like our text today, give and it shall be given to you. Did you cringe when you heard that? You did. If you're honest, some of you did. Many of you did. I did. When I first, I said, Lord, are you sure this is the text? But you see, the fact that something has been abused doesn't mean that God cannot walk through it to bring about your destiny in him. In fact, like I say, the fact that there's a fake actually points to an original. If you sell things, if you're a merchant, and somebody gives you a 1,000 naira note and gives you a lot, you want to check if it's fake, right? You know, is there 5,000 naira note? No. Okay. So what if you now get to your business and somebody hands you over a 5,000 naira note? They've designed their own. They give you 5. Nobody will fall for that, right? Because it's not even fake. It doesn't exist. So if something is fake, it's actually proof that there's an original. Praise the name of the Lord. So a young man came to me and said to me this course of this week, and I saw he was reluctant. It was in my office, he was reluctant. I mean, I'm like, what's his issue? And he was reluctant, and he finally brought out an envelope that had money. He says, Papa, sir, I'm not sure, you do this, you know, but I want to sow this seed to your life. I said, I do it, bring it. because we don't pressure people for money, we don't, and we do it deliberately because we don't want people to think that that's what the gospel is about. So, but we've done it so much that people are now even confused. They don't know what to give, when to give, when not to give anymore. Praise the name of God. So I prayed with him and I repented. So give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, press down, shake it together, and running over. That is what the Word of God says. But you see, it goes beyond money. When it says give, in fact, I like the translation that says, give your life, and it will be given back to you. The challenge, the reason a lot of people are not hitting the mark of their destiny is that they are preserving their lives. They are preserving, you are living in self-preservation. Jesus says that he that saves his life will lose it. But he that gives it Give includes give your time, give your talent, give your mind, give your effort, give your judgment. And guess what? One of the things Jesus was directly speaking to here was give mercy. It's one of the things he was directly speaking to here. Give mercy. Give grace to people. Give mercy to people. And the next verse says that because it is the measure you use to give, that is what will be given back to you. So if you judge people harshly, don't worry. If you are merciful, don't worry. And on this principle hinges, and it's the kingdom of God is hinged on this principle. We saw the ordinance of good seed, good soil, good conditions equals what? That is what the earth is built on. That's how the world works. Everything you are today is as a result of what you gave yesterday. Everything you are today is as a result of what you gave yesterday. Whatever stature you've attained, professional you are, is because you gave your time and went to college. It's because you gave your time and studied. You gave and it was given back to you. That is how it works. That is the exchange of life. Relationships, that's how they work. Marriage, that's how it works. If you're married, you never give. That's how it works. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Jesus says that when you give, it will be given back to you how? Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. And what? And running over. That phrase that Jesus used is a marketplace phrase. Jesus uses a lot of things from the marketplace. In fact, did you know that Jesus spent over 75% of his life in the marketplace? I can break it down. He spent over 90 outside of ministry, but there's no time to break it down. But over 75% of his life, he spent in the marketplace. Out of the 52 parables Jesus gave is about business. It's about the marketplace. That's about over 84%. And guess what? 100% of Jesus' disciples, 12 out of 12, he picked them from the marketplace. He went, fisherman, tax collector, doctor. He picked them from the marketplace. They had Bible colleges, so to speak. They had rabbi cohorts. They had institutes of Sanhedrins. They have where religious people are trained. Jesus did not go there to choose his disciples. That's why they said, you know, who is his teacher? Anyway, don't let's get there. So Jesus didn't go there. Jesus stayed in the marketplace, picked his disciples from where? From the marketplace. For us to be effective as Christians, we have to go to the marketplace. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jesus uses terms from the marketplace to explain things of the kingdom of God. And Pastor K showed us an amazing video at the vigil that shows us what's true. Press down. Let's roll the video.
That's three or two. Two.
That's fuller, right? Okay.
Fuller now, well, madam. That your hand never fuller.
You see, the challenge is that we sometimes mistake good measure for full measure. We mistake good measure for full measure. Good measure, Jesus says that good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. So what's good measure, Pastor? What's full measure? Good measure is the apparent capacity of the vessel. So that yellow bucket, when it is filled to the top, that's a good measure. But that is not full measure. Full measure, on the other hand, is good measure plus pressed down, plus shaking together, plus running over all over the place. Praise the name of the Lord. So they tell us that, the fitness experts tell us that when you are working out, you know, if you work out, you get to a place that you say you are tired, right? That, I can't do these push-ups anymore. They tell us that when we get to that point, maybe you are lifting some weight and you're like, I can't do this anymore. When you get to that point, that you still have 40 to 60% of your capacity. So when you feel you can't do it anymore, that's good measure. But to get the full measure, it goes to the overflow. Praise the name of the Lord. So what God is saying to you and I is this. Did you see an equation in that statement already? You saw an equation. So, so full measure is what? Hallelujah. So the full measure that God will give you today, it will be good measure. Amen. It will be pressed down. Amen. It will be shaken together. Amen. And it will be running over. Amen. Why pressed down and shaken together? To make more room. To make more room for it. So, after you've pressed down and you've shaken together and you've all the grains, the air, the spaces are filled up, God still doesn't stop. God still keeps pouring until there is an overflow. It keeps pouring. Your limit doesn't limit God. David would say to us in Psalm 23 that you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. It overflows. So when God anoints his head with oil and his cup is full, why didn't God stop? Because God doesn't stop at your limit. God always, always gives us the overflow, more than enough. And you see, listen, I'm praying for you, I've prayed for you. And everybody in this place, if you receive it, you will not just have enough going forward. You will have more than enough. In the name of Jesus. You will have more than enough in the name of Jesus. So God's full measure is always beyond measure. God's full measure is what? It's always beyond measure. Always beyond measure. Always beyond measure. In a good way. In a good way. God is who you will call Alasheju. You know what Alasheju means? Excessive person. Overdue. You know, I'm praying that you get into this understanding of God. Because your understanding of God determines the extent of the manifestation of God in your life. Your revelation of God determines the extent of the manifestation of God. Listen, I've seen people say something like that the Holy Communion is just a type, it's a sacrament, it's just a symbol that we are just using. If you treat the Holy Communion as just a symbol, it will remain a symbol to you. But if you treat it like what Jesus said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat, this is my blood. Drink, you will see the miraculous. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, it gets interesting. It says that good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put where? In your bosom. In your bosom. Good measure has to do with your vessel. Full measure has to do with your heart. It has to do with beyond your vessel. In fact, they have an outer garment that they used to pack the thing. The full, the extra, the running over to pack it. So, what does this mean? What does this mean? Good measure is a function of your vessel or vessels. Good measure, full measure is a function of your bosom, of your heart. It's a function of your heart. It's a function of your mind. What can you see? It's a function of your mind. That is the link. It's a function of your mind. Your vessel is determined largely by your mind. Praise the name of the Lord. Your vessel is determined by your mind. Let me give you an example. The story is told of a little boy that went with his mom to see this rich uncle. They said this rich uncle is very stingy, extremely stingy, but he has a weakness, and his weakness is children. So when children come, anything they ask, he just gives them, you know? So this mother has been coaching the little boy for weeks. We are going to see Uncle Agbaja. When you get there, you say that we need 2 million naira. So what did you say? What did mommy say? I said 2 million naira. The boy said, mommy, can I ask for sweet? Mommy said, if I slap you. Mommy said, if I slap sweet, call sweet knee. You see, that's the problem. She didn't take the time to explain to the child. Anyhow, she said, if I slap you, say, what do you say when you get there? 2 million. They got to the gate. Say, what do you say when he asked you? 2 million. They enter the house. After all said and done, the time came. The uncle ignored the mother. Looked at him. Oh, little boy, what do you want? Little boy looked at his mom. Uncle, sweet. And the uncle said, what did you say you want? The mother was pinching him. He was like, mommy, uncle, sweet. Uncle said, okay, call someone. Please give him sweets. They gave him a whole box of sweets. The boy was in heaven. But he was about to step out of his uncle's house into hell. Because you and I know what's going to happen next. The African mother will kick in. The vessel the boy brought was a function of his mind. Simply a function of his mind. Of course, like I said earlier on, if the mom, which is the mistake the African parents make, we don't explain to our children. We don't. If the boy had understood that out of that 2 million, I can take, I will give you 10,000 naira sweets. Your room will be filled with sweets. Eh? The boy will catch the vision. And guess what will have happened to that boy? His mind will have expanded. This is mind that would have expanded. Your capacity is determined by your mind. Your vessel, the vessel you bring, it's your mind. It's your mind. So don't bring a teaspoon to fetch water from an ocean. Don't bring a teaspoon this morning to fetch water from an ocean. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all, ever say all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. So the question is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Now, what are you asking? What are you asking this morning? What are you asking? When you ask, you are placing a demand. What are you demanding? What are you demanding from life? What are you demanding even from yourself? What are you demanding from yourself? Do you believe that you are actually unstoppable? If you do, what demand are you placing on that limitless spirit that is in you? What demand are you placing on yourself? What are you demanding of yourself? What are you demanding? Before we can even begin to say, what are you demanding of God? What are you demanding of God? But did you know that giving is asking? Pray that God will open our minds in the name of Jesus. Giving is what? Is asking. Say, Pastor, is giving asking? Giving is placing a demand on something. That's why when, if you have good parents and you're a girl, they say don't collect gifts from boys. Because when they give you, they say, but it's just so nice. He hasn't asked for anything. You collect the first gift. You collect the second. Oh, I don't have anything to do with the man, but $100K, a lot in your account. Oh, no, he's not asking me for anything. Giving is asking. It makes you, yeah, you can clap for Jesus. It's okay to clap. It makes you vulnerable to the giver. That is why in the spirit realm, when we come, we don't come without giving. We don't come without a sacrifice, because it's a sacrifice. We are placing a demand. That's how it works. That's how it works. So, you, your life too, when you give, you are demanding. When you give and invest in yourself, as it is said, you are asking and demanding of yourself excellence. When you give yourself that course, so you are going to pay for that training. And because you are paying for that training, you cannot afford that nice dress. If you choose to buy the dress instead of paying for the training, you have chosen a future. But if you deny the dress and you pay for the training, you've also chosen a future. You are asking a question of a desired future. And, you know, when we see that it's all connected. Your mind determines what you think, and what you think determines what you ask or give. And we begin to see how effortless life can be. You see, the reason that folks are struggling, I know that we go through different seasons, regardless, you know. So that's not even what I'm saying. But, you know, some people just don't get it. It's because they don't understand that this is how it works. I was speaking to one of my, daughters a few days ago, and she was telling me how, she's getting income in pounds, you know, and all that. And I'm laughing in the same Nigeria. I don't think she has traveled outside of the four walls of this country. I don't even think she has a passport. Okay, maybe she, I don't know. She doesn't. Yet! In the same place, others are saying, oh, things are tight. You will have what you say. Okay, so Pastor, so I shouldn't say the truth.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us.
There is a path that the fowl of the air has not seen. God will show you. There's a path to abundance that the vultures of the air have not located. God will show you. Yeah. in the name of Jesus. So now, capacity has to do with what? Your mind. When God called Abraham out and says that, as far as you can see, I've given you the land. It was not his physical sight. How far can his physical sight go? Your physical sight will get to a place, that's your vessel. It's good to have a vessel, right? It will get to a place, but guess what? Your mind must kick in. You must see further than your eyes. Praise the name of the Lord. So that's the first thing, is the mind that controls the capacity. Now, there's another component for capacity. Are you ready for this? There's another component, and the component is this. In the next verse, it says, for whatever measure, everybody say measure. Whatever measure you use to give, large or, hallelujah, large or small, will be used to what? To measure what is given back to you. So you determine the capacity of your harvest by the capacity of your giving. That's also, it means that this capacity thing, you know, when we talk about capacity, sometimes it looks, sounds elusive. So it means that capacity is in my hands. You're studying for an exam is coming. You love your sleep. Some people take their food, but don't take their sleep. I mean, I used to be like that. So I love you guys. The sleeping crew. Are you guys in here, sleeping crew? Yes, okay. Take my food, though. Take it, I don't care. Well, don't touch my sleep. But you know that you need to stay awake to study. The capacity, the measure you use to give into that exam is the same measure they will use in rewarding you. You see, sometimes Christians, we have this thing twisted. We think, oh, I will pray. But God is saying, no, this is not prayer. It's the same measure you use. You are working. You do a shoddy job. You go to work late. When no one is looking, you clock out. You said, well, after all, they should have increased our salary. You justify yourself. The mistake we are making is that we don't realize that we are actually working for ourselves even when we are working for someone else. You are working for yourself. Say, Pastor, how is that? Because promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west. Promotion comes from God. It is God that lifts up one and brings down another. You know, the Bible says that if you are not faithful in that which is another's, who will commit your own to you? That That's why when people say to me, I can't serve it, I can't work under anybody, I laugh. Oh, I'm starting a business. I'm like, okay, let's pray. We'll pray. I'm not saying it won't succeed necessarily. If it does, it means you would have done well serving somebody else. But many times, it is that which you do when no one is looking that is determining your measure. And it's going to determine the measure with which they are going to give you back. So what are you doing when nobody's looking? What are you giving when nobody's looking? That is what is determining your measure. I don't know why I'm saying, is anybody doing exams? So I'm always going back to this example. Are you studying? It is the same measure. Praise the name of the Lord. It's the same measure. Spiritually, it's the same thing. The Bible says, draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. What determines how close you are to God? It's you. It is the measure with which you deal. It's that same measure with which they will deal with you. If you prioritize God, God will prioritize you. If you honor God, God will honor you. God says, I honor them that honor me. That's how it works. You determine the harvest. You determine the harvest. But you see, when we set our measure, God just doesn't give us our measure back. It starts with it, but it gives us the good measure, pressed down, shaking together, which means it's already more than we gave, but it doesn't stop there. It begins to run over. It begins to run over. It begins to run over. It begins to overflow. But, you know, you and I need to realize that what will take a teacup to overflow is different from what will take a tanker to overflow. So because you can easily say, oh, since it's going to overflow, everybody's going to overflow, so my vessel, doesn't matter, it will overflow. It will overflow. But teacup overflowing and tanker overflowing, there are different levels of overflow. Praise the name of the Lord. Some people have been on teacup overflow. Heaven is pushing you to tanker plus overflow in the name of Jesus. So, no matter how you enlarge your capacity, no matter how you enlarge it, God will still give you full measure, which is good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. You cannot escape the overflow. You can't. That's why David will say, goodness and mercy, they do what? They follow me. They will chase you down. You cannot. Listen, you can't. Your life will be effortless if you understand this thing. And I pray that you understand it in Jesus' name. You can't outrun it. You cannot dodge from the overflow. It will find you. Go under the water, it will find you. Go in the rock, it will find you. Climb on the rooftop, it will find you. That is the God we serve. That's the God we serve. It's running over, running over. So, Pastor, so how do I handle the overflow? Real quick, how do I handle it? There's just so much, so much. Next week, we are going to be looking at part two of this. Part two. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. So, how do I handle the overflow? I'll just give you chickeny tip, you know, and I pray that it will become big in your heart by the Holy Spirit. How do I handle? Do I have to keep pointing? God be calling. You see, there's a story in 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. I want to challenge you to read this story today. When you get home, when you are enjoying the jollof rice and the chicken, you know, just put it on one side, then just put your Bible here and be reading this story. This is one of, by far, my favorite stories in scripture. It summarizes a whole lot of things. It puts everything in context. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The widow had a challenge. She came to the man of God, Elisha, and she said, my husband, the servant, also a man of God, is dead. But he left a huge debt. The creditors have come to collect my sons. You know how the story goes. And Elijah, is it Elisha or Elijah? Elijah? Elisha, okay, correct. So, but Elisha said to her, what do you have? She says, I don't have anything but this oil. And I keep saying, I'll say it again. If you don't have anything, make sure you have oil. Because with oil, you can recreate everything. If they take everything from you, guard that oil with your life. But with that oil, it will multiply and becomes an overflow. So Elisha said, oh, wow, you have oil. Get vessels. Of course, Elisha knew they had vessels in the house. They would have cooking pots. They would eat. Elisha knew they would have vessels in the house. But Elisha did something that is easily missed if you don't pay attention. And this is this. Elisha knew that when they poured the oil by his instruction, miraculously, it will fill the vessels and it will overflow, and they will not be able to take advantage of the overflow. So Elisha said, go and borrow vessels. The borrowed vessels are for the overflow. So that when you are pouring the oil, where it's coming from, they will not stop. They will keep pouring. It will keep going. It will keep going. And guess what? And if you cannot handle the overflow, yeah, you can just say, like David said, they poured oil on my head, they poured on my vessel, it ran over. But I want you to get the best from this. Get more vessels. How do I handle the overflow? Borrow more vessels. Borrow more vessels. How do I do that? It has everything to do with your heart. It has everything to do with the capacity you've built, the person you are. It has everything to do with the bosom. Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is this. If this woman had been a very caustic person, a very troublesome person in the neighborhood, and she goes to borrow a vessel, how many people will borrow her? Nobody. She will have no vessels to borrow. So the number of vessels she got was directly proportional to the largeness of her heart. So will it be poured into where? Your bosom. If you can't make room for other people in the time of their need, you may not have help in the time of your need. The heart is so connected to this thing. You can't treat people shabbily because you have resources or you have power. When you are in need, who are you going to meet? You're going to meet people. You're going to meet people. So it is your heart that determines the amount of extra vessels you get And that is what will determine whether you'll be able to retain the overflow. And the way the overflow works is this. You know, when the vessel you have reaches capacity, the oil does not stop. It keeps flowing. But when you have borrowed vessels, and the vessels you have borrowed, the overflow is going into them, and the vessels you borrowed reaches capacity, the oil stops. Some of us, we get out on Wednesday. The oil stops. The oil doesn't overflow on the borrowed vessels. God's full measure, which is good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, always goes beyond you and I. Your always goes beyond you and I. God's full measure, the full measure God wants to do in your life is going to go beyond you. It's going to go beyond you. You will need to borrow the vessel from Yasekira. You will need to borrow Yachinyere Zone 2 and Baba Muftal. You will have to borrow their vessels. Guess what? Guess what? It is normal behavior. When you borrow a vessel and you've packed the oil, when you are returning the vessel, you say, thank you. You see that? So the chain of people that will be blessed keeps going on and on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. If your farm is such that only you can work your farm, only you can harvest your farm is not a farm, it's a garden. It's a garden. Too small. Overflow. You require help. And it is your heart, your bosom, that will determine the extent of help you will get. And that is what will determine the extent of overflow you can retain. I see you getting this. Can I say, but Pastor, but I'm a solopreneur. You know solopreneurs. I'm a freelancer, I'm a solopreneur. Well, that model may work for you, but you will still need virtual assistants. You need VAs. You are going to need to outsource your HR. You're going to need to outsource your accounting because it's going to go too big. So big. The overflow that is coming, you will not be able to keep track of it. Your software may be able to, but you will not be able to keep track of it. Pastor, is that even scriptural? Yes, it is. The Bible says that Joseph, they kept record of the grains to a point that they could not keep record of grain anymore. Do you receive that? So full measure. We've talked about full, the full bit. The full bit, which is good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, running over, overflowing. Then let's talk a little bit about the measure bit. And I will pull the curtain and we go into the anointing and stuff. Measure. When you talk about measure, you're talking about fundamental physics of estimating the quantity of something. So I guess that there are about a couple of basic measures. You guys know SI units and stuff. But we look at three crucial measures. The first is length. It's length. That's why you have the ruler there. It's length. What is length? Length is a measure of distance between two points. Now listen to me. You should have covered a certain distance, but you are short of that distance. Today, in the name of Jesus, God will help you cover that distance. You point A to point B, but you haven't covered ground. The hand of God is coming upon you today, and you will cover those grounds in the name of Jesus and beyond. It is a measure of a distance between two points. It can be a distance to cover, or it could be a stature to attain. You've been a child of God forever, but you're a midget, spiritual midget. There's a stature you should have attained. There's a height you should have attained. You're just always eating, drinking, always, worship, everything, but it's stunted growth. It comes to an end today in the name of Jesus. In your life, in your family, in your business, your stature begins to grow. You begin to grow in stature. You will grow in stature in the mighty name of Jesus. If the measure is 6'2", 6'2", and you are 5'9", you can still be feeling like you're not a short man. But you are not to measure. When it comes to stature, you don't compare yourselves to others. You compare yourself to your destiny. When it comes to stature, you don't compare yourself to others. You compare yourself to what? To your destiny. You don't compare yourself to, at least I'm doing better than my neighbor. It's one of the fastest routes to living a mediocre life. When it comes to stature, you don't compare yourself to your neighbor. You compare yourself to where God wants you to be. And because of this service, you will attain that stature. In the mighty name of Jesus. The measure of length is one. The second is the measure of weight. The measure of weight. Full measure. The measure of weight. Weight is a measure of gravitational force on an object. That's what weight is. In fact, physicists to tell us is MA, mass times acceleration due to gravity. Correct? It's a force. Weight is a force. It's a force. It's a force. It's the force an object exerts on Earth. That's why when you climb on the scale, which a lot of people are running from, when you climb on the scale, you are measuring your own contribution to putting pressure on Earth. Look straight. Look straight. The force an object exerts on Earth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your life will be weighty. You will not be like the snake that goes on the rock and leaves no impact. Your life will have impact in the name of Jesus. The weight is a force. It's a force of glory. In fact, the word glory, kabod, is literally means weight. It means force. The glory of your life will intensify in the name of Jesus. If you go to the beach and you see a mosquito on the beach. Sometimes they walk, you know, mosquitoes walk on it, you know. But when they leave, do you see any mark? There's no mark. But when a gorilla walks on the same beach, because of the weight of the gorilla, they always leave a foot mark. Your life will leave a foot mark. Your life will leave an indelible foot mark. In the name of Jesus. Oh. There are people that the good news is that, okay, let me say it first. They have tried to exchange the glory of your life with that of a sibling that is more favored. But they failed. God says that they have failed. It's not an issue that they have done it, then it will reverse it. They say it didn't work. Could they work? Could it work? And anyone that tries it again, in the name of Jesus, their hand will wither. Anyone that tries it again, in the name of Jesus, their voices will be seized. The weight, the glory of your life will be manifest. Some people don't have glory, so to speak. Everybody has glory. But you know what I mean. You know, the glory of the... do we have time for this? We do. The glory of the sun is different from the glory of the moon. It's different from the glory of the stars. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. And even stars vary in glory. Full measure. Your glory, we have good measure. Pressed down, shaking together. Amen. And running over. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Third measure, volume, that we look at briefly. Volume. What's volume? Volume is simply a measure of space an object or a substance occupies. That's volume. The volume of something is the measure of the space it occupies. In the name of Jesus, you will have full volume. Yeah. There's a reason they say increase the volume. When they say increase the volume, what they are saying is that sound that is coming out is not filling, it's not occupying this room. When they say loud it, it means that your voice will be recognized and heard. In the name of Jesus. It means that your influence will know no bounds. The aroma of your life will spread the fragrance of Christ. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Into territories. Into nations. Amen. The volume you will feel, you will not be reduced. Amen. You will not be muted. Amen. You will not be depleted. Amen. In the name of Jesus. As length is dimensional measurement, you will have, length is dimensional measurement, you will have full measure of length. Amen. Weight is force measurement. you will have full measure of weight. Volume is special measurement. You will have full measure of space. No longer will you be constrained. In the mighty name of Jesus. The greatest glory is the glory of God. That the glory of God will fill your life. That you will have the fullness of the glory of God. That it will not be said of you. It will never be said of you. Ichabod. It will never be said of you. The glory has departed. In the mighty name of Jesus. So I want to pray with you today. That's where to start from. You're like, Pastor, I want the glory of God to burst forth in my life. I want the glory of God to shine through my life. I want the glory of God. Let's all bow down our hearts as we bow down our heads. As we give the privilege of privacy at this time. You're like, Pastor, pray for me. Oh, you're like, the glory has departed. I want it restored. Pray for me. I want to pray for you. Wherever you are, I want to come back to God. Or I want to start a walk with God. I don't know God. Or I used to know God. I'm not with God anymore. I want the glory of my life restored. Wherever you are, I want to pray with you. Put up your hand now.